Well, as a pastor, one of my greatest joys is to see other people get involved in ministry for the Lord, especially seeing young people leading out. And so today, I've invited some friends who are part of the literature evangelism team from this past summer. I want them to share with us not only what they did for the Lord, but how they were impacted today. So Kayla, I want to bring you to the front here, and you'll introduce everyone, and we just thank you so much for blessing us today.
Happy Sabbath, everyone. So it's come to my attention that this church actually has a lot of Ellies and former Ellies. If you've ever worked literature evangelism, can I just see by raising your hand? Wow, that is awesome. I just want to tell you real quickly, we're very informal, and basically this is just going to be a report, lots of stories from our summer, because we feel like it's important that the church knows what's going on, especially in ministry. We believe that literature evangelism is mission work. And so like missionaries, we want to come back and kind of give you guys a report of what has happened this summer. But before we get going any farther, I just want to pray again real quick. So please bow your heads. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for the Sabbath and for allowing us to be part of your missions. And Lord, I ask that the Holy Spirit is with us today, that it's not any of our words, but your words, and that you will be glorified through these stories. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Before we get going, I just want to give you a little crash course in literature evangelism culture. You might hear them, as they tell their stories, use words like divine appointment. I just want you to be familiar with some of these words. Divine appointment is something that we say a lot because we believe that every meeting we have with people is orchestrated by God. And that's basically what that means when they say, I had a divine appointment. That's also the theme that we had for this summer, was divine appointments, not only with the people that we met, but with our divine appointment with God. You might also hear them talk about $5 specials, and that's something that this program allows us to do, is to leave one of the spirituals, which is Desire of Ages, Great Controversy, or Steps to Christ, for $5 with a home. So you might hear those things and not quite know what they're talking about at first, but I hope you do now. I want to read you a quote it's kind of like our theme quote for literature evangelism. And I found it in Maranatha. I know it's quoted from another book, and I think it might be Great Controversy, but I'm not sure. So I'm reading from Maranatha, page 122, and it says, "With such an army of workers as our youth, rightly trained, might furnish, how soon the message of a crucified, risen, and soon coming Savior might be carried to the whole world. How soon might the end come, the end of suffering and sorrow and sin." And I just want to direct you to one passage before we get going with the stories, because I feel like it just sums it up so nicely for what we're doing. And that's in 2 Corinthians. So if you would just please turn there with me. 2 Corinthians 5, 18 through 21. And if this doesn't get you excited, I don't know what will. This is one of the most exciting passages in Scripture for me. And also, I'll just let you know right now, we really like it when you guys get excited. So please feel free to be excited with us, okay? We're going to read this, 2 Corinthians 5, 18 through 21, and it says, "Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." The Desire of Ages says, Jesus continues, "As you confess me before men, so I will confess you before God and the holy angels. You are to be my witnesses upon earth, channels through which my grace can flow for the healing of the world. So," meaning likewise or in the same manner, "I will be your representatives in heaven." That means that the same zeal we want to see, or we want God to have in representing us before the Father, is the zeal that we should have in representing him to people on earth. We're going to get going with testimonies here really quick. And there's many of us who could not make it the Sabbath, and one of them is a church member who's been here for a long time, Nick Hosted. And we were trying to figure out how we could make him be a part of the service. And he actually recorded himself doing his testimonies. But unfortunately, we couldn't get him to work. But they are on YouTube, if you want to see that. So for Nick's sake, I'm just going to tell you one of his testimonies before we share all of ours. He mentioned that this summer he learned to really love trailer parks. And I think all of us do. Trailer parks are one of our favorite places to work. The people are a lot of times just really hungry for something in trailer parks. And he was coming to this trailer, and there was rap music just blaring. And he was like, oh no, like I'm going to get some really rough people at this house. And he just went to the door and started knocking. And he kept knocking. And finally he got to the point that he was basically kicking the door. And someone came to the door, and he's like, don't worry, I'm not the sound police. And the guy just laughed at him. He's like, okay, because the sound police did come last night. And, you know, he made friends with him, and the guy invited him in. He's like, okay, what do you got? So he started showing him Peace Above the Storm, which is Steps to Christ. And I'm sure you guys, many of you have heard Nick's testimony. That's the book that changed his life. And so he loves to show it to people and to incorporate his testimony into his canvas. So he began to tell this guy, who was a really rough guy, his teeth were, you know, rotting out of his head, and you could just tell he was kind of a rough guy. And he showed him this book and told him that it changed his life and that it had the power to change this man's life also. And this guy wanted it so badly, and Nick said, you know, we normally leave it for $10, but I can leave you with this book for $5 if you really want it. And the man said, I don't even have $5. Like, I don't have anything. And they kept on talking, and pretty soon the man's like, let me call my mom, because I bet she has $5. So he calls his mom. He's like, Mom, can I have $5? So apparently she lived in the same trailer park. And she didn't answer when Nick knocked on her door, but she came over, and he's like, Mom, look at this book. And Nick began to canvass her on the book and tell her about the power of this book. And she was so excited, she gave $5 for it, and then she started to walk away with the book. And the man's like, no, what are you doing with my book? And she's like, I want to read this. You know, I got it. I'm going to read it first. So it's just so exciting to see those divine appointments. You know, that lady would have never gotten the book if this man, if Nick hadn't continued to knock on this man's door. And now they both got the book. But it's just stories like that that are so exciting. And I want to invite some of my friends to tell their stories. Molly, would you come up?
Hello. There's like two stories that are in my mind, and I can't decide which one, but I'll just go with this one. I've been doing literature evangelism for a while now. I started 2 summers ago, and then I task force for Joe, and then I did last summer. But last summer, something really awesome happened. Like Kayla was saying, that we love doing trailer parks. Like, never underestimate like any territory that you go to, whether it's rich or poor or anything. So I was working with a boy named Michael, and we go into this one entrance of this trailer park, and I can't remember. I think it was a really, really, really slow day. Like, nobody had any money. Like, no one really wanted to talk to us or anything. And we had stopped and prayed for a divine appointment. And we start walking, and here's this lady. She's out on her porch. So we're like, oh, she has pretty flowers outside. You know, like, she'll probably be, like, a nice lady. And so we walk up, and we go to the porch. I'm like, hi, ma'am. Like, how are you doing today? And she's like, well, I don't want to be alive. And like, whoa, didn't expect that response. But I didn't know how to respond to that, but she's like, she was a very, very an unhappy lady. And so we started talking to her. We're like, are you okay? Like, she just told us that she didn't want to be alive. She was a super angry lady because she goes on to tell a story about how she is really, really sick. And she starts telling us this whole story about how she had died like a month before, but she has a do not resuscitate band on her arm. But she said that she had died in the hospital, and the nurses like either ignored or didn't see the bracelet or something, but they resuscitated her, and she is now still living. And so she was like super, super angry about it. And she's like, I don't want to be alive. Like, I want to be dead. I'm so mad at the hospital. And we're like, whoa. So we just keep talking to her. We started showing a little bit of the books. Like, we asked her more about her story. And she just told us that she didn't want to be a vegetable her whole life, that she's in, like, a lot of pain. And so we showed her, I showed her the three spiritual books, like, the Steps of Christ, but it's called Peace Above the Storm. I showed her that, and she looked at it, and she got so excited. She's like, can I please buy this book? Can I buy, like, I only have, like, $10. I was like, oh, no, that's fine. Like, you can buy it for $10. I was so excited. And so she goes to, we are going to go into her house, and this is the most beautiful part. Right next to her door is a no soliciting sign. And so Joe Martin, he always tells us, like, for respect, like, since we're not technically solicitors, but to respect the people, like, don't go into houses that say no soliciting. So me and Michael, we, like, looked at each other, like, divine appointment. And then, like, we walk inside the house, and we start talking to her. She gives us the $10, and she starts thanking us, like, a lot for coming. And she says that we started talking about God, and she was talking about how she didn't, like, have a relationship with him, that a long time ago she used to be, like, hardcore Catholic, but she just slipped away from everything. So we asked if she wanted to pray, and she agreed with us. It was so awesome because she was crying by the end of it, and that's my favorite part is when people start crying because I'm like, yay, like, I was so excited. But so anyways, like, she thanked us, kept thanking us. She had, like, the biggest smile on her face. We walked out of the house, and by the time we got out of the trailer park, this is the best part, too. It said it had a huge sign, like, this trailer park, like, is no soliciting. Like, the whole trailer park was. And we had left so many, like, great controversies and Peace Above the Storms, like, in that trailer park. And if we had gone, if we had came in the trailer park from the opposite direction, we wouldn't have even done the trailer park because we weren't allowed to. So it was so cool that God had just had us come the opposite direction. The lady was brought, like, back to life, like, resuscitated. And I just can't wait to go to heaven and ask God, like, did you resuscitate her just so she could get that book? Like, that's so awesome. Like, you're so sneaky. But anyways, that's all.
Hello. My name is Jared. And last summer was my fifth summer working for Joe. It's an awesome experience. If any of you guys want to do it, you should. But this last summer, I was a leader for Joe, and I was working with a student, Lindsay, who she is kind of like hot and cold sometimes. Like, she'd be on fire, and sometimes she'd like just be struggling, which is all of us. We'd be excited one day and down the next. But we were working just down the street, and we met this guy who came out really excited about what we were doing. He really supported us, but he said, oh man, my grandson's going to Washington, D.C. for a school trip, and I'm helping him with that, so I can't help provide you guys with any money. So we're like, oh, that's all right. And I wasn't even thirsty, but a lot of times, just to try and get people to talk more, I'll ask them for water. And so he, like, invited us in, he got us water, we're talking, And somehow it gets on the topic of, like, the growing season. And he's like, yeah, Wyoming has a really short, like, season for growing. And he's like, but this year I'm letting the soil rest. And I was like, whoa, what? Like, what? So he talked a little more, and I'm like, sir, like, why are you letting the soil rest? It's like, I'm just curious. And he's like, oh, well, it's the seventh year, and, you know, it's, like, biblical. And he has kept the Sabbath for 30 years, and he hasn't worked on it. And he never said anything about the Adventist Church, and obviously he didn't recognize our books. And we were just talking and talking, and I was like, sir, like, I know you said you don't have any money to spare, but I really think you would like this book. And I pull out The Great Controversy, which is my favorite one to give out, and I tell him about it and how it talks a lot about the Sabbath. And he is like, well, like, I think I'm going to get this one. And so he goes and he finds $10 for it. I just told him $5. But it's just so awesome. We have no idea how many Sabbath keepers or commandment keepers there are out there that are just waiting for us to find them. So I just encourage you guys to talk to your neighbors.
Hi, my name is Laura, and this was also my fifth summer working. And this summer I was also a leader. And sometimes when you're a leader, you worry about the students and stuff. I know that sometimes when I gave directions, and some of the students that are really young and unpredictable, I would, like, watch them cross the street because you never know if they're going to get hit or not or something, do something crazy. Okay, so I would watch them sometimes. And then, but also sometimes when you're having a bad day, then that means that you're not helping the students as much as you would like to. So, like, kind of like in a non-selfish way, sometimes you pray and you're like, oh, Lord, you know, please help me. Not for me, but please, like, for the students. Because, yeah. Anyway, but this day I was having, like, a really bad day. I just felt really bad. And I was working with this student named Seth. And we were going to this house. And I was like, I don't know what was happening that day. Maybe it was hormonal or something. I don't know what was happening. Something was going on. But I was knocking at this house, and I just felt so bad. And, like, I remember that I was, that time, I was just focusing so hard on not breaking down and crying in front of this lady. I was just like, all my emphasis was on not breaking down and crying. And so you say your canvas so many times that you can just focus on that instead of, like, focus on the canvas. So I was just focusing on not breaking down. And I was like, this is the desire of ages. Like, I was just trying so hard to keep it together. Anyway, but then after everything was said and done, she was like, so I can give anything. Like, I can donate anything, like, any amount I want. And I was like, oh, darn it. And sometimes they shortcut us, so I'm like, yeah, you can give anything. And I was like, darn it. Anyway, I'm not helping the student here. And so then she comes out, and she gives us, like, a $100 check. She's like, I can give anything, right? Like, is this okay? I'm like, yes. And so I was like, oh, you know, praise God that I could, I don't know, I just, yes.
Okay, I just wanted to say something real quick before some more testimonies. People are saying that literature evangelism is becoming a thing of the past, that it's obsolete, and people don't want books anymore because you can get them online. Most people have access in their phones, all these electronic devices, that the work of the literature evangelist is going to cease. But inspiration has told us that the literature evangelism will have work until the end of time. Like, we will always have a work to do because we're dealing with people one-on-one. And so just to show this, just to illustrate, I want to show you guys some statistics from this summer, from one day from this summer, how many books got out. This was on July 17, and we were in Rock Springs. And our team, which was only about 24 people, left 499 books in one day. So that's including all the books that we have, cookbooks, children's books, adult spirituals. But 288 of them were adult spirituals. And the number one seller for the entire summer was The Great Controversy. People still want books about Jesus. This is not a thing of the past. And God will sustain this work until he comes. I want to tell you one of my stories because I think it's important. I know all of them have heard it before many times, but I think it's important for the church to know the spiritual battle that's going on, that it's very real and alive, and that we are a part of it if we've chosen to be on God's side. This was my first summer being a leader for Joe, which means that you're always working with a student. And it's neat in the fact that your mission field almost doubles. You know, you have the people at the door, and then you have the student you're working with also. And I was also working with Lindsay, the same girl. And, you know, God every summer seems to give you a specific ministry. At least he seems to for me. The summer before, I always got Jehovah's Witnesses. And somehow I got to make friends with them and leave lots of books with them. And this summer I was expecting it to be the same way, but instead I got a lot more of the spiritualism stuff. And Molly, joking one time, called me the demon-possessed leader because if someone was going to get him, for some reason it seemed like I was always getting them. But I went to one door and was working with Lindsay, and this man came to the door. And he was probably, I couldn't really tell, maybe in his early 30s. Small guy, kind of had shoulder length, greasy brown hair, dressed very unkempt. And I just started as usual. He looked kind of like a hippie. I'm like, hey, I'm from Eugene, Oregon. I can do hippies. So I pull out the cookbook and, you know, tell him what we're doing, who we are, and real briefly about the cookbook, I say, please look. And I hand it to him. And I'm standing there holding the cookbook, and he's just staring at me, like just staring. And I'm standing there smiling at him, and he's not doing anything. And we're told not to say no for a customer to make a decision, but I'm like, I'm not getting anywhere. So finally I'm like, no? And he's like, no. So I put it away back in my stack, but I decided I wasn't going to give up. And I turned to the back of the book, and there's a picture of the Blue Bible storybooks. And I said, you know, I just want to show you who we're with. You've probably seen the Blue Bible storybooks in doctors or dentists' waiting rooms. And a lot of times that's an in for people. And I was trying to get him into The Great Controversy. So I was opening that up, and when I showed him that, he's like, oh, I'm reading this book right now. It's Job. And he starts telling me what he was reading in Job. And immediately this man starts opening up. And I got to show him The Great Controversy. I tell him what it's about, and he takes the book from me and starts flipping through like he's looking for something, like really trying to find something. And he opens up, you know, as he's doing this, he's muttering and kind of talking to us, and he mentioned how he gets thrown on his knees a lot and this spiritual battle that's going on. And I mentioned the verse that says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. One of the ones like that, or it might have been the one that Satan's walking about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And the man knew where it was right off. So he knew his Bible. And he opens up to the chapter called The Snares of Satan in The Great Controversy. And he's like, is this it? And he's just looking and looking. I tried to show him The Desire of Ages, but he was focused on this book. And I hear his music in the background, and I was like, oh, is that Third Day? And he's like, yeah. And he's like, sometimes I get in trouble for how loud I blare it. And like, hey, you know, there's probably worse things that you could be blaring. You know, at least it's Christian. And we were talking a little bit, and I could just tell, like, this guy was just a little off, you know, just how he responded, how he was interacting. But he seemed nice. You know, we were making friends. And he said, hey, do you guys want to come in? And normally Joe doesn't say we can't go into houses. He just says, use your discretion. And he seemed like a really nice guy, and we were together. There were two of us. And so we're like, oh, sure. So we go inside, and he closes the screen door behind us, and then the big wooden door, and I'm immediately regretting my decision for going into his house. I'm going, what am I doing? You know, we had our radio, so I just kind of turned that up a little bit. And now he was in between us and the doors. And then to make matters worse, he starts talking about a basement. And he's like, yeah, you take people into a basement and then you turn off all the lights. And Lindsay is freaking out next to me. Like, she's not showing it, but she's just like, is he taking us to this basement? You know, we have no idea what's going on. And then he says, and that's when you say, that's what your life is like without Jesus. And so we breathe a sigh of relief, and we're like, okay, this guy's okay. He knows stuff. And we continued to show him the books. And I told him the price range, because we leave him on donations in a price range. And he really wanted The Great Controversy and Desire of Ages. And he's like, well, can I just make a donation? And he was really struggling with something. And I was like, sure, you can make a donation, because I knew I was going to leave him with books anyway if he gave me a donation. So he looks at the floor and just stares for probably about 30 seconds, which is a really long time when you're just standing with someone. And he just stares. And you could tell he was, like, fighting with something in his mind. And finally he says, okay, I'm gonna do that. And as he's walking out of his living room where he is, and as he's walking out, he turns and looks up to something that's right about here, and he says, if you don't leave me alone, I'm gonna punch you in the face. And Lindsay and I are like, oh my goodness, you know. And he goes out of the room, and so I turn to Lindsay and I'm like, this is a spiritual battle and we need to pray. And so she and I are praying. The whole time he's gone, it takes him a long time to come back. And finally he comes back, and he gives us enough money for The Great Controversy and The Desire of Ages, and we leave a Steps to Christ with everyone. And so I handed him the books, you know, and when he had come back, he said, I'm sorry, you know, that man gives me a lot of troubles. He throws me on my knees a lot, and I have to wear knee pads sometimes. And this is something that we don't see a lot of times, you know, if we stay in our sphere of Christian friends. You know, we don't see that people are being harassed by the enemy. And I handed him these books after he gave me the money, and he's like, oh, no, you know, I don't need the books. And you could tell that the enemy was not wanting him to take those books. And so I started begging. Like, you don't normally do this with customers, but I was like, no, please, this is my gift to you. I want you to have these books. And so he takes them. And I asked if I could pray with him. And this is one of the hardest things when you see people crippled by fear because of the enemy. I asked if I could pray with him, and he said no. And he looked out the window, and if you could see the look on his face, it would have broken your heart. And he said, I don't know how big he is. And I turned to him, and I said, Jesus is bigger. And he said, yeah, he is. And I asked what his name was. And he said he was so proud that his name was Michael, and he was named after the archangel. But I went away just realizing how horrible the enemy is, you know? And I think it's important for us to know that and for it to prompt us to do something about it, to share light. Taylor and Megan, would you guys please come up? We have a couple more testimonies for you guys.
Hello, I'm Megan, and this was my first summer working LE. So something you should know, when we knock on doors and no one's home, we card it, which means basically we just put a little Bible study card, like, on the door, which they can send it in and get Bible studies for free through the mail. But a lot of times we just think about those houses like no one was home. Like, sometimes you get really disappointed if you just have a lot of doors that you card because you're like, I'm not getting any books out, like, I'm not talking to people about Jesus. Like, it can be really discouraging sometimes. But you card a lot of doors because a lot of people aren't home. So it was just this one day, And carding doors, you know, some people are home, some people are not. And I remember my team, we were all waiting at the end of a block. We were waiting for one person on my team who seemed to be taking forever. Like, I don't know what was going on. He's taking so long. So we're just waiting and waiting because we were kind of moving into, like, a different, like, part of our territory. So, like, we had to wait for him. And this guy comes up riding his skateboard. And he just looks at us, and we're kind of, like, looking at him. No one's saying anything. It's a little awkward. But then he asked us, he's like, are you guys the ones who left the card on my door? And we're like, oh, yeah, like, that was us. And he's like, well, I didn't really look at it, but it looked kind of cool. And so we started telling him, we're like, oh, yeah, like, you can send that in and get free Bible studies and stuff. And he started talking to us about how he used to be, like, really strict Catholic. And then he fell away, and, like, for a really long time, like, he was just not into good stuff and doing, like, his lifestyle totally changed and whatever, not into good things. And so he talked to us, and he said about 3 months ago at that time, like 2 or 3 months, he had actually started coming back to Jesus. He had started reading his Bible, and he was trying to find people like his age that loved Jesus. And he was so excited that we were out there doing what we were doing, you know, talking about Jesus and trying to tell people about Jesus, because he's like, there's not that many people like my age who does that. And he was just looking for them. And so I just started having this whole conversation with him. And I took out one of our Happiness Digest, which is Steps to Christ, and I gave it to him. And I started talking to him all about it, because when he told me about how his life had completely changed, but he was still kind of on a shaky path, like he wasn't sure what to do and stuff. And so I started telling him all about it and actually telling him about Nick's testimony, kind of how it changed his life. And he got so excited. And, you know, like, there are people who can just get, like, some people don't care. It's going to happen, but one day they might care. But it's so exciting when you see the people who care now and who just love the books. And he was, like, so excited to go read it and so excited to see people. And he just said how encouraging it was to him to see other people who also love Jesus. And the fact that he came and found us, like, we didn't even talk to him. He wasn't there. But something prompted him, obviously the Holy Spirit, prompted him to come talk to us. And, like, then he ended up getting a book. And I just think the Lord is so good, because he, like, sets up the perfect timing of things to happen so that everything will fall into place and just work. And I just think it's awesome.
Hello, everybody. My name is Taylor. This last summer was my third summer working as an LE. And let's see, I was working with Molly in Casper, I think. And it was the very beginning of the day. It was a really nice day, actually. We started walking across, because our territory that day had this big main street on it that was actually really busy. But we had this one little court that was across that street. So we had to run across it and do the little court and then come back. While we were working on the little court, Molly and I met this really nice older guy. I think his name was actually Joe, which we found really funny. He bought one of the spirituals from us, and, like, there was nothing all that amazing about that. But as we were walking away, Molly handed me my receipt pad, and I kind of put it down, and then we just kept walking. We crossed the street again and started working. She and I did one of the businesses across the street together. And the lady was actually really interested in the books, and she wanted to get, like, 4 or 5 of the kids' books. We're like, yes, sold books. And then Molly told her, we'll just write out a receipt for you. And I go and I look in my bag, and all of a sudden, my receipt pad's not there anymore. And I started, like, freaking out. I'm like, Molly, I don't have my receipt pad. And she's like, oh, no. So we had to explain to the lady, we actually don't have a receipt pad. Can we come back in, like, 5 minutes? And the lady's like, okay, whatever. And so we prayed really, really hard. Where is my receipt pad? And then we went looking for it. It wasn't anywhere on the side of the street that we were on. And so we're like, oh no, it's across the street. This was like quite a while later that we noticed this. So we were wondering if it was even still there. So we went across the street, started looking like crazy, and found it right in front of that older guy's house, which was amazing because looking for it, it wasn't anywhere on the side of the street that we were on. And so we're like, oh no, it's across the street. This was like quite a while later that we noticed this. So we were wondering if it was even still there. So we went across the street, started looking like crazy, and found it right in front of that older guy's house, which was amazing because otherwise would have been in a lot of trouble because that was all my money for the day. Not good. But that showed me one of the main things that I learned in LE was how to rely on God through prayer. And just the fact that he answered that little prayer, even though it meant a lot, it impacted me a lot more. Yeah.
Okay, Kayla told me to come back up here. I'm just going to tell one short more one. This was when I was a student, and it was really fun being a student because you're by yourself, too. Like, I like being a leader because you get to be with someone all the time. But my first summer, there was 5 of us on the team, and we were in a cul-de-sac, which I didn't even know what a cul-de-sac was until Ellie, because I live way out in the boonies, and so I didn't even know what a court was. But so we were in a court, and there was 5 houses, and there's 5 of us, and our leader was like, okay, there's 5 of us, just pick a house. So we all like spread out, I just picked a house, and I was holding my books like really close up to myself. I don't know why I was holding them so close, but the guy who answered the door, I was like, hi, I'm Molly, blah, blah, and he like cuts me off right away. He's like, are you Adventist? And I was like, oh, how did you know? Yeah, I am. Like, I was like really happy, like, yay. You know, he like knows I'm Adventist, and he's like, yeah, I know it. I could tell by the Great Controversy in your hands, which is like the last book that I hold in my stack, and so he could see it. And he's like, I'm an ex-Adventist, so he says, I could give you this spiel better than you can. And I just stood there, I was like, oh no. So that morning, I had just read in the Desire of Ages, like, the best way for us to save souls is just by loving them and not arguing with them. So I wasn't going to argue with him, so I was just, or ask him really why he was ex-Adventist. But that same day, Joe had told us, no matter what, ask for a happiness donation, no matter what, which is where we just ask for, if they don't want to buy a book, we're just like, oh, well, some people are just helping out with like a dollar or two. And then, like, a lot of times, they come back with like a $5 bill and you can leave them a book. Anyway, so I was like, okay, well, some people have just been helping out with like a dollar or two. So I asked him for the donation, and he says, what college are you going to? I said, Union College in Lincoln, Nebraska. And he goes, yeah, I went to that college. And I was like, oh, really? And he says, okay. He like stops and looks at me for a while, and he's like, okay, I'll give you a donation. He says, but first of all, you have to answer these questions. And I was like, oh no, what are you going to ask me? And he's like, who wrote The Great Controversy? I was like, Ellen G. White. And then he goes, who's the president at Union College? I said, David Smith. And then he just stops and he just looks around and he's like, okay, I'll give you a donation. He goes back, he gets his checkbook, and his wife is, she says to him, she's like, honey, who's at the door? And he goes, oh, just someone who works with the books with the publishing company that I used to work for. Like, that's what he's telling her. So I was like, what? Like, and he comes back, and like, he could tell that I overheard that. So he's like, I used to work for Review and Herald. And so I'm like, whoa, you know, like, this is a guy who like put out these books. And so I was like praying really hard because I didn't know what was going to happen. And he writes out a check and he hands it to me. It's $100. I was like, whoa, are you serious? Like, thank you so much. And I was like, I can leave you all the books. But he's like, no, I don't want any of them. And like, I just kind of asked him how he was like doing now. And you could tell he didn't want to talk about anything. So I just prayed for him. Like, we didn't have a big conversation. Like, there was no crying or anything. Like, but I just thought that was so awesome though, because if he didn't have a heart for like what I believed in or like Union College or anything, he wouldn't have given me like a donation. And so I still pray for him all the time. I just thought it was so cool how God like is so, he is wooing. Like every time we like come to someone and they reject us, like it was just cool because I know that God sent me there. Like I was the only one in that whole group from going to Union College, and I ended up at his door. And so it's just really awesome that God is just like so in love with all of us that, you know, like even when we turn him away, he's like tries everything he can, like literally knocking on his door and like, hey, like come back to me, like I love you so much, you know. He's like just sending like more and more things to each one of us, saying like, please come back to me, like wooing us. So I just thought that was so cool that with literature evangelism, we get to be the workers with the Holy Spirit's working in us, and we get to go woo the people back to Jesus. So anyways.
All right, I have another short one. Taylor mentioned the importance of prayer, and working LA really drives this home because you're praying all the time and you see your prayers answered, sometimes quickly, sometimes you have to wait the whole day. But this time it was actually during the school year. Molly task forced at Campion this year, and I'm dating Molly, so I would go visit, and I live in Colorado. And I worked for Joe also, so I would work with the students every once in a while. And we were in this part of the town where it seemed like every door was no soliciting. So we'd be walking, we'd walk halfway up the driveway, look at the door, no soliciting, walk back, walk up the next one, no soliciting. And it was really frustrating for all of us. No one was interested, no one was home. And so there's this student, Sneha, she's a senior there this year, and I was with a different student, but she was on the same side as us, and she was going up another house, and I told the student next to me, I'm like, okay, if this next house for her is no soliciting, we're going to stop and pray, because just to help encourage us. And so she gets halfway up the driveway and then turns back around, and it's another no soliciting. So I'm like, Sneha, hold on, like, let's pray. So we say a short prayer. And as soon as we're done, the person from the house that she was about to go to that had the no soliciting sign came out and was like, hey, what are you guys doing? And I was like, oh, Sneha, that was your house, so go talk to her. So Sneha ends up staying there for like 20 minutes and ends up leaving a lot of the books because the lady saw us praying outside. So just always pray, I guess. It's the moral of that story.
Okay, this one is really short too. this summer, it was our last day that we were in this city, and we had new teams, but every 2 days we switched teams, so we have the same team for 2 days. And we were, Molly and Kayla made the teams so that my team was a Hispanic team, and so a lot of Hispanic people were on my team, well, basically all of them, and so they could speak Spanish and talk to the people, because our territory was supposed to have a lot of Hispanic-speaking people, but I think I didn't even use my Spanish that day. I was so sad, and so then the next day, the next time that we worked. We had the same team, but we had moved to another city by that point. And when we got dropped off, it was actually a trailer park, and there was a bunch of Hispanics there. And it was like God made it so perfect that it wasn't our intention that day, but that day, like, it was, and we got out all the Hispanic literature except for one book, and that was just awesome. Yes.
Okay, we're going to be wrapping it up, but I just wanted to share one more story just to explain the complexity of divine appointments, and which makes it even more amazing how God orchestrates them. Literature evangelists like to talk, so I'm sorry if we're keeping you a little long, but I'll make this quick. I was working with my team in Cheyenne, Wyoming, and it was a day where we had to keep on stopping because we were having huge rainstorms, and we'd have to just work really hard and then get back in the van and stop when it started raining. But I was working with Callie, one of the girls from Campion, and we work with each student for a while, you know, and then we move on to the next one. And I was ready to start working with another student. And we were on the same side of the street as this other boy, Adrian, and he was behind us. He had been in a house for quite a while. And so I was like, okay, Callie, you just go ahead. I'm going to wait for Adrian and start working with him. And so I waited out by the house for a long time, and I guess he was just really having a great time talking to these people. And so I'm standing there, and next to me is a house that we had carted, and someone pulls in. And I just got this feeling, I was like, I bet we're going to leave a great controversy at that house. And Adrian comes out, is like, hey, this person's home now, so let's grab them. This guy came to the door, and he had just gotten home from work, and he was so interested in the great controversy. And we were able to leave him with that and a prophecy seminar CD-ROM thing that the church had provided for us to leave with people that wanted the great controversy. And it just amazes me because if I hadn't stopped working with Callie right when I did, and if I didn't choose to work with Adrian, I could have worked with any of the students on my team. But it's just amazing to see how God prompts you and how that man now has a great controversy who would have never gotten it before if I hadn't been waiting a long time for my student to come out of the door. And I think that's so awesome, and I think it's something that shows how great God is. I want to show you something interesting. How many of you have maps in the back of your Bibles? Okay, I want you to flip back there and find one that has the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea on it. It looks kind of like this. Do you see that? Okay, I'll wait a little bit so you can find it. Something that's interesting about this is the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea are connected. It's the same water that flows in them. The difference is, if you look at the Dead Sea, there's an inlet and an outlet. It's giving just as much as it's getting. If you look at the Dead Sea, there's only an inlet. There's no outlet. And I think this is very, very applicable to our Christian lives. If we're only trying to get blessings, if we're only worried about our spiritual walk and our relationship with God just by ourselves, just trying to grow ourselves, we're not going to grow. We're going to become like the Dead Sea. We have to have an outlet. We have to be giving just as much as we're getting. You know, God blesses us solely so that we can tell other people about him. The Desire of Ages says that heaven's chosen way for revealing Christ's faithfulness to the world is through our testimonies. That means that whatever God gives to us, we're turning around and giving back to people. And I just think that's so important. And just to close, I'm sure you guys have heard this song. Chris Rice sings it. I think it was originally Kathy Tricoli. But it's called Go Light Your World. And you'll notice that was the name of our little presentation. And I just want to read you a few lines from it. And I think that we need to be praying for a burden for souls. Because until we learn to serve people and to love people like Christ did, we're not going to have Christ's heart, because that was such a huge part of it. It says, there is a candle in every soul, some brightly burning, some dark and cold. There is a spirit who brings a fire, ignites a candle, and makes his home. So carry your candle, run to the darkness. Seek out the helpless, confused, and torn. Hold out your candle for all to see. Take your candle and go light your world. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you so much again for the privilege and the honor that you've given us just to participate in your work, for giving us things like literature evangelism that can just help us to understand you better and to see people and to minister to them. Lord, I pray that each one of us will just get a burden for ministry, to have a burden for souls, and that people going to Christless graves will bother us. Lord, I just ask that you pour out your Holy Spirit on us and that you prepare us to meet you very soon. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
I would like to thank Kayla and all these young people for being willing to stand up here and share with all of us, hopefully inspire us for what we can do for Jesus too.